Hello, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our 135th episode. Well, and we want to welcome our digital audience today, and we do have an important topic, making family decisions about traveling to Las Vegas. I think it's a real honor, pleasure, a blessing for us to be able to talk to you about Las Vegas and casinos, and also about family and whether it's worth it to take family to Las Vegas. These kind of decisions are harder and harder to make because of the state of affairs in the world. It's not as safe as it once was, or at least as safe as we perceived it. But we're going to talk about whether you're an uncle or an aunt or a brother or a sister of someone who has preteen, say 12, 13-year-olds, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds taking family to Las Vegas. And of course, sometimes there's no choice if you want to go to Las Vegas. There's just nobody to watch the kids, or you don't want to leave 16-year-olds at home alone. That's not safe either, you know, for any extended period of time. So these are tough decisions, and we want to help you make the decision that's right for you. So hang on, we'll be talking about that. We'll be also sharing with you Crab's Talk and some information about betting in general, outside of off the craps tables, but just betting in general, about staying a low roller. The pressure to bet more and more and more is real. That's a real pressure. So hey, in the middle of June 2022, let's get started in this 135th podcast of Casinos USA. Well, in the summertime, you know, the desert sun, wild temperatures are just incredible. Like, I think it's 108, 109. This is June 12th, and bright sun. And you're thinking, boy, you know, where we live, it's just not that nice in terms of swimming. And we could go there and we could swim all day. And I'm going to say right now, you can't. If you take your kids to Las Vegas, you're not going to be able to stay at a pool all day unless you rent a cabana. But even that, besides the expense, it's just too much sun at one shot, and you have to be careful. Certainly, you can swim every day when the temperature's 99, 105, 106, but you have to be very careful. Sometimes preteens and teenagers don't want to be careful, but that's where you're going to have to insist that they are very careful about getting too much sun and not using sunblock the way it has to be used. Also, in terms of supervision, we want to talk about things you can do together as a family, and then how you can also give your teenagers, particularly, a little space, but safely. And we're going to bring Janie in to talk about these things. And, you know, there's the other question. What would they do in Las Vegas? And we'll try to touch on all those items, too, and give you what we would think you could do. Maybe you've never thought of it this way, but we'll give you our teenage special day and what we would do with teens. All right. Okay. Let's get started. And here comes my partner, Janie. Hey, hi, Janie. I just wanted to start with, the approximate ages quickly on the recall of our grandchildren at our son's wedding. We had three grandchildren there. And what were their ages?
I'm believing they were 6, 9, and 12.
Okay, so I'm going to throw some activities that might be family-oriented activities where you can go with children that young, too, and enjoy. And just comment on what you think of them. The first one I'm going to lump together, Hershey's Chocolate World, the Coke Store, and the M&M World.
Oh, yeah, those are all good. The M&M World has a little movie they can go into, and I mean, they see every color of M&M and every other candy that the Mars company makes. The Coca-Cola, you can get a sample in there, if I'm not mistaken. And Chocolate World, we're familiar with that because there's one in Hershey too.
Yeah.
So, but those three are good and tasty.
I'm saying sometimes adults will be just as
excited
as the kids.
I agree, and to And to that point, I would also say that when you were talking about kids in the pools in the sun, you know, adults have to watch for that just as much. Right. I've seen probably more sunburned adults than I have children. Okay.
Okay. The next family kind of situation with, you know, preteens and even early teens. How about the shark reef at Mandalay Bay?
Well, that's a nice venue to go to with them. You can't go wrong with that. There's a little glass encased, you know, encasement that you can look up and see the fish and walk under it. And they have all types of reptiles and aquatic species.
Okay, in terms of pools, I wanted to go back to the wave pool at Mandalay Bay and anybody else that has a wave pool in Vegas. Is that the only one?
No, wave pool, not, they don't have a wave pool at Mandalay Bay. They have the surf pool. That goes like a surf. It comes in like the surf at an ocean.
Well, do you think that's age appropriate for, you know?
Oh, sure. Our kids loved it. And they have the lazy river there, too. Now, we were staying at what's MGM? Park MGM now. It was Monte Carlo before.
Yeah, they had a lazy
and they
river.
Had the wave pool, yeah. So there are a lot of places downtown. They have the Golden Nugget has Swim with the Sharks, where you go down the slide and the glass enclosed, and you see the sharks.
Okay, so there are pools that
there's
maybe
a
are,
lot of pools.
They're more
and,
fitting for children than
right,
they are
and you
just
don't
for kids.
Have to be staying necessarily at those hotels to use those pools. They have fees that you can pay to swim at almost any pool that you want.
Well, I think this is true. If you're an M Life member, one place you can go to
right,
any M Life
any
pool.
M Life,
Caesars
you,
can go to any
I,
other.
Yeah. You can go to all the other pools.
You show your room
you just
key.
Have to ask, yeah.
Okay, now how do you feel about, I'm going to say, early teens and all through up to the age of 18, if you're supervising them, the Pinball Hall of Fame?
Well, I think that's good if they have some knowledge of pinballs. But, you know, kids today are so into digital and electronics that they may never have played them, but they would like them. I mean, it's worth a try because I haven't been to the new one where since they've moved to the Strip, but there didn't used to be a fee to get in. You just had to pay to play.
It's the same way. It's
okay.
Still,
well, then I think it's worth
cents.
A try.
Yeah. And, you know, I on our trip to the Pinball Hall of Fame when it was closer to UNLV rather than the Strip, there were lots of families and kids
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. And most kids do have an idea of how pinball machines work. They've seen them some places. But even if they don't, they'd be happy to probably learn how and just play it since it is so different from the digital and electronics.
Okay, let's go back to that pre-teen group.
Well, you didn't mention Circus.
I'm going there right now.
Oh, okay, because that's such a big one.
Well, Phil Ruffin's pouring a ton of money into it, too.
Well, and anything he does, he will do that. It'll be good for the customers.
They're trying to bring back the glory days of Circus. Right. What about the free circus show, pre-teens? What
well,
do you think?
They'll be interested for a while. I mean, they do have circus acts that you get to watch, and they're every half hour.
I was thinking it's about 20 minutes.
They're
show
not
or so.
Very
they're
long.
Free shows.
No, so yeah, they're free. You go in, you sit down, and you watch the circus shows, and then they have the midway there that has all types of games.
Okay, that's an arcade.
It's an arcade. I mean, it's a great place for kids.
Okay.
And it's confined so that you can keep an eye on them very, very easily.
And assuming that you'd be out there during the summer months, the Adventure Dome for preteens especially, it's 5 acres, 25 rides, and it's air conditioned.
Right. I think that's something to keep in mind, that it is air conditioned. And they, I know our one grandson had a birthday party there even. And brought in some other kids.
I think you can stay there several hours with young kids.
Oh, easily. I think you can stay probably more than that even, more than a couple of hours.
Well, I want to mention a place where you can take the preteens and even the teens to eat that won't just be like, you know, battling them to behave because they'll be excited about where they are. And it's moved now. It's on a strip. Families have to research where it is, but it used to be an MGM, but it moved, and that's the Rainforest Cafe.
Oh, the Rainforest Cafe. Yeah, that's a great place, especially for young kids, younger children. If you've never, there are several other Rainforest Cafes across the country. I'm not exactly sure where they all are, but when our kids first went to the they loved it because, you know, you get the thunderstorms and the rainstorms while you're sitting there eating and the sky changes. And then they had all the animals in there that move, the animatronics. It was really a nice feature. They loved going there.
Okay, now, I don't want to leave these two arcades out because I'm familiar with both of them. We talked about the Circus Arcade, and I think that is the best of the arcades for kids.
I would say for younger kids.
But there's the
kids.
Big Apple one at New York, and also the one in Excalibur. And I think those are a lot of fun.
I didn't even mention Excalibur. When we went there and took the kids, we took them to the, what's that show called? Tournament of Kings.
That was very kid appropriate.
We took them because that included a dinner.
Yeah. So
and ahead of time, I remember saying, well, look, this includes a whole dinner. We don't have to worry about them eating somewhere else or agreeing on anything. But we were concerned at the menu and how they would handle it. Well, they loved the menu. No silverware. You eat with your fingers. You know, there was a bowl of tomato soup, which you just pick up and drink out of the bowl. Well, they all loved that. Then there's, I think it's a little Cornish hen.
That was the meal.
That we just called chicken. Yeah. And there was broccoli. And there was, I don't know if it was mac and cheese. There were some potato wedges or something else had. And
our three got into it.
They did. They all ate everything. And I think they wanted more. And then all the pop or iced tea, milk, whatever they were drinking, they could have the whole time.
Okay, now I have to tell you the truth. We haven't visited Area 15, but have watched a number of YouTube demonstrations.
Right.
It's 15 acres, and people say it's for all ages. And there's one that I think preteens would love, and so would I. And that's the Halley Comet ride, where you fly like a bird. And it's, you know, it's almost like wearing one of those masks.
I think that probably that Area 15 is good for anybody, but I don't think very young children. But they could go in a stroller. I mean, if you have them in a stroller and you want to take other kids there, they would probably enjoy just looking at whatever else is there to see.
And I love this description. They call it a funhouse feel, but in a year 3000.
Right. Okay. So Excalibur, what else they have? They have a whole area of an arcade there, down there on the lower level.
Yeah, you jump from Area 15 to Excalibur.
Well, I'm jumping back because I don't know that we gave it enough.
If I remember, they have some ice cream down there.
It was a Dairy Queen brand at the time that we even got late into the evening. You know, 10 o'clock, I think we still were getting
it. I think what's nice about the arcades, all the ones we mentioned, is that, you know, the kids in Vegas, you can take your children through a casino. They can't step by the machines, but they can walk through it. But they see those flashing lights. And when they go to your arcade, it's a little bit of the same thing for them.
Right, I think that. I would mention, yes, that was one of the shocking things to me from the first time we ever went there. It was the children could walk through the casino with adults. But you can figure out why. If you're having adults stay there, the way they're set up, you have to go through the casino to get to some of the hotel elevators. They are allowed to walk through with their adult companions, and they can go to a lot of the restaurants, but they can't go near the machines or in the gaming areas.
Well, they can walk through the gaming areas.
Yeah, they can walk through them. Yeah,
it's which is different than a lot of other states,
like in Pennsylvania.
You can't go into the casino.
They can't. In fact, the rivers in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, had to reroute traffic into their buffet.
Yeah, they had to put a door just for that, right?
Banquet rooms, because weddings, kids couldn't go through the casino to get to a wedding.
Well, that's done now, but you're right.
Yeah, that's over. Yeah. Right. So that's just something to keep in mind.
All right. Well, the next thing is something that we've both observed, and let's talk about the Strat. Now, first, don't think about the Stratosphere anymore. That place was worn out, but Golden Entertainment purchased it. Put close over $40 million into it. It's beautifully renovated.
Yeah, and it's called the Strat.
It's called the Strat. They also cleaned up the area around it.
Right.
It's one of the few places in Las Vegas on the Strip that has free parking.
Right.
Okay, so that's a good deal. But it's a world-renowned destination for people who love
thrill rides.
And this is definitely teenagers. The preteens leave them out. They're not going to be eligible to ride it because it's about height.
Right.
So
some of them you can leave out,
Mom, dad might just want to watch these, but I think there's all-day passes.
Right. You can get a variety of passes with an assortment of rides, but they are internationally acclaimed thrill rides, and you will go up there and you will hear languages from all over the world because people go there just to see and use the rides. I always found it interesting. I like to go up there and just watch them. I would never go on any of them.
Well, they've added now the body over the side, too.
Well, the bungee jump.
The bungee jump,
yeah. There's a restaurant at the top that you can...
What do you think of that for 12 and 13-year-olds having lunch up there?
Oh, I thought it was... I liked it. I think our grandson liked it. He, at the time, was only probably about 10, maybe not even 10, but he liked it because you could tell by movement. You were going around... my advice, if you are going to go and use the tower, go up and watch the rides or even partake in the rides, if you want to see Las Vegas in the day and at night from that vantage point, it would be good to go right around dusk. Find out what time that is, depending on the time of the year.
Well, I have a plan for that. Thank you for that segue. It's perfect. So here's my plan, and I'm thinking of teenagers, but you can disagree. The rooms, if you ask just for a resort room, that's just the lowest price room. They'll put anything that's open.
Right.
Why not rent a room, even though you're not going to stay overnight? Let's say you're staying somewhere else on the Strip or even downtown. You rent a room, and okay, so you could plan afternoon rides. You can also change and go swimming because they have a nice pool. Up high, so that's interesting.
Yeah, I see your point.
And also, you could go to dinner there. Mm-hmm. And then the kids could, and then all of you could go back up in the night. The kids could ride. If you don't want to ride,
I don't want
to ride.
No.
But they might, because it's two different, I agree with you. It's totally, there's two different experiences.
Right.
There's a daylight and experience for riders and.
Right. I've done them both, and they're truly very different.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
and the people that you meet up there then, too, are very, very different.
Another $50, and you get $55, $60 at the most.
Yeah, I think you could take the lowest lowest
cost
room.
And just make it a day.
It might be fun for you to do it. I would also mention that you can, out in front of the Strat, or you can get the shuttle bus that takes you down to Fremont Street.
This is so,
and there's no cost for that either.
This is so important. This is such a great deal.
You could park.
This is a secret to most tourists. They don't know this.
You could park for free at the Strat, and then you get the bus. Or if you're not driving and you don't have a vehicle, you just take an Uber or taxi or another public transportation bus to the Strat.
To the Strat, right.
And then you pick up the free shuttle that takes you onto Fremont
Street. It's free. It drops you off at one of the ends of Fremont Street.
And
it's by the steakhouse, Oscars.
There's pizza places on Fremont. There's all kind of stuff on Fremont. There's Container Park, which is a neat place
to
see.
And we're talking about taking younger children there in the daytime.
Yeah.
In the daytime.
My concern with kids, of course, always is safety, no matter who it is. And you have to watch because you got little ones that will just take off, but you also have teenagers that
want to take off.
We'll say, well, we're just going a couple streets down, whatever.
No, but that can happen. So someone said this, and I'm not going to plagiarize their words. I'm going to just enjoy their words. They said, if you want a family Vegas, you can create a family Vegas. If you want an adult Vegas, well, you certainly can create an adult Vegas. But I don't think you should plan on mixing the two.
It's hard to mix the two because if you are a parent or you are an aunt or uncle, grandparent, you know that if you have kids with you, that's the main focus.
No matter
where you are.
I want to close this session talking about one of our followers on our podcast who has called the show, and he's a member of he travels with children, and he told us that these hotels will offer babysitting. I don't know how young it would be, but say you have children that are 6, 7, 8, and you and your wife want to go out. They do.
In fact, now also I would mention, I don't know if they still have it, but the Orleans used to have like a daycare center that if you wanted to go to the Orleans casino and play and whatever, they had a daycare right there.
And that's where it sometimes families who want to do both, they want to do the family Vegas and then they want to do the kids Vegas. Sometimes bringing grandparents, bringing an uncle and aunt, and taking turns.
The kids have
to be supervised.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. But you can divide it up and make it, everyone's responsibility.
Right. I would say when we had my son's wedding there, we had other family members there, and our grandchildren were they were able, they swam in more hotel pools, I think, than we ever did, right. Just because they would go and spend a half afternoon with one group at one hotel, then they'd go and spend it with somebody else at another hotel. So they got to swim in, I think, 7 or 8 complexes, because some of those pools, some of those hotels like Mandalay Bay has 4 and 5 pools.
Okay, that's a great memory for us, and you know that right. could work. Now, the other final thing is, people want to see shows in Vegas, but for kids, there are kids-appropriate shows, and I'm going to say they're the Magicians. Well, you want to talk about
right.
the two?
David Copperfield, Chris Angel.
They're not going to be any vulgar language.
No, they're children, or I mean, oriented. You can definitely go see those.
And adults can sometimes get, you know, this is fantastic.
Right, they're not, they're all good shows. Anything you see out there has been produced.
Who was the magician that we that made the car fly across?
Oh, Lance Burton. He's no longer.
He's retired.
I think his son might be doing it now.
That was pretty amazing.
Oh yeah, they are they're amazing what they can do. And I would also like to mention, you know, there's always the Bellagio waters.
Oh yeah.
That are free. You stand there, you look at them from the street, or you can go up on the walkways to the hotel or to the casino. I know when my one cousin had her son there, he was probably preteen or just early teen. He was fascinated by those waters. He wanted nothing to do but to stay by the waters and watch them for hours.
Well, I tell a little funny story that I'll never forget. We had 3 grandkids with us, and we had a suite at Mandalay Bay, which had a hot tub in it. We weren't thinking about how the kids would react.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we hear noise. They're in there. So go ahead.
Yeah, they jumped into there. They used all the bath salts, all the towels. I mean, we hadn't even truly gotten our luggage in.
Yeah, we were unpacking.
Yeah, we were just getting it, everything put away, and they were still enjoying it. I mean, they were in there for quite a while. So there's all kind of experiences like that. Any hotel experiences do, and most kids like those.
So it's a family decision to do this,
right.
And you're going to have to agree. There's going to have to be rules for the children and also for the adults.
Well, I think you should probably get a book that's out there on things to see in Las Vegas or whatever hotels you're staying at. Go on their website, ask them if they can send you anything, because a lot of them have little things for kids that
well,
I'm not even
think
aware
of the Luxor,
about.
The, yeah. What do you call that? The show?
Oh, they have what?
What do you call those? The computer game location?
I can't remember what they call it. It's electronic sports.
It's incredible.
It really is an amazing facility, and that's where a lot of young kids would like to go.
Okay, and so
you can pay by the hour for gaming. And you can game alone, or you can game with other people.
Yeah, they can go against each other and go against other
There's
people.
There's all kind of options for that.
Okay, well, thank you for your contribution today, Janie, and we'll see you next podcast. So just talking about casino gambling a little bit before we go to Crab's Talk, because what I'm going to say, and it's really, I really feel blessed to be able to say this to people in this podcast, you know, and to share these values, which people who may embrace them or may not. Not the point. I'd like you to consider. You know, one of my golden rules of gambling would be to bet less when you're losing and more when you're winning. But I want to clarify betting more when you're winning, because there's a temptation sometimes to bet too much. You know, I had a nice run about a week and a half before I had a losing day with Major League Baseball, and I was basically taking a couple of the more mediocre teams, even terrible teams, and betting against them, and if they weren't playing the Yankees or Los Angeles, the Dodgers, I was always betting the Dodgers and the Yankees to win. So I generally had 4 bets. You know, I'd bet the Phillies to win. Also, I'd bet against the Pirates constantly. Bet against Cincinnati and then Philadelphia, the Dodgers and the Yankees. You know, so I usually had $2 bets on them, and it was at $10 every day. And, you know, I had a couple 50-cent 5-team parlays. So there were a couple times over, the 2 weeks that I've been talking about where they won, all 5 teams won. And then I expanded into the WNBA, the Aces, and they had a nice little win streak going, too. So you know, I was looking at my results and I was filling up my car with, you know, $75 of gambling winnings. And I was thinking, geez, like, why don't I bet $25 a game? You know, why didn't I up it like, you know, times three, times four, times five? And then I, you know, I caught myself. And there's a reason that I'm a low roller. And the reason is I just don't like the stress of betting more than I should. I call it scared money. That's a term I got from Jimmy the Greek. You know, scared money is money you just can't afford to lose. And when you lose it, it creates so much stress. And you think, like, what the hell's wrong with me? Like, why did I bet that? You know? Well, yeah, sure, you wanted to double it, you know, but why did I bet that? Why did I bet it? You know, losing $10 every day would be upsetting too, but, you know, the way Major League Baseball is, there's the haves and the have-nots that, you know, generally you're going to have three wins and two losses or four wins and one loss. A couple of days you're going to go 5-0. Then you might have a day where top teams get upset and the lower teams play well. That's just the nature of baseball, and you could go 0-5. So those days you're going to lose $10. And I'm talking about betting on a mobile app that's legal in Pennsylvania. There's several that are. I like DraftKings, Barstools. I was DraftKings originally, but I like Barstool because it gives you my cash points, and that's important to me because I'm a regular at the Meadows, and Penn National has a nice property in Henderson, Nevada called M Resort that I could use to stay there, comped or to Tropicana for as long as that's up. Anyway, so those are both Penn National properties. At least Penn National was running them. So just be careful about that. Like, I think you have to think about that in terms of, like, how much do you bet? And the suggestion is never bet with scared money. You have to bet with money that nobody likes to lose. But if you lose it, it's not going to disrupt your life or cause any havoc. You know, so that's what I wanted to talk about before Craps Talk. And now we'll go right to Craps Talk with our typical Crap Talk opening.
3, 2, 1.
Well, most of you have probably come across a bubble craps machine or a cylinder machine for the game of craps, or these new electronic craps tables where there's dice that are thrown, but there's no chips at the table. There's no players standing around the table. Players are actually seated around or near the table. So Interblock is one of the ones that I'm familiar with, and they're spreading. And you wonder, you know, are people going to stop going to the regular tables? And you hope not. You know, we hope that these bubble craps styled machines or electronic styled tables just bring more people to craps. But in thinking about that, you know, we started to wonder about are people going to those bubble craps and electronic games because of unspoken craps rules that they just don't want to deal with, they're not familiar with, they're not comfortable with. And I want to talk about a couple of them. Like, so someone could go on you know, YouTube and watch videos on how to play craps. You can try betting a craps game on bar stools because the price is so low, or electronic table for $5 minimums on line bets. But you just don't want to go to a regular table because there's issues, and these issues are like unspoken. Like, nobody really talks about them. Seldom do they talk about them. And let's just go over a couple of the main ones. You know, you can list them all out and think of dozens, but these ones just occur so often. And the first one is, there's a, you know, you go to the table and there's a shooter, and everybody seems to be happy. She's doing really well. You know, you can see there's a lot of chips in the chip racks and she's shooting, and yeah, she rolls a dice, and it's a six, and you're thinking, oh, man, I want to get in this. So you say to a dealer across the table from you, hey, here's $300 I want to get in the game. I want some chips. And they'll give you the chips. They're not going to say anything about you shouldn't do this. But every other player, and especially the shooter, is saying, like, what the hell's wrong with you? You don't interrupt a shoot. You know, just like, how do you get chips at a craps table? It's like unspoken. Like, you wait till the shooter seven outs, you know, goes, loses seven, loses her her shoot, and it goes on to the next person. And in between that, then you could get chips. You know, you can do it other times without interrupting the shooter, because the casino interrupts the shooter. You know, for example, there's a change of chips, like a whole new thing of chips come in. And sometimes when there's a hot shooter, the casino does, I think, try to interrupt the game. And so you can say, hey, while we're standing here, I'd like to come in for $300. So one of the things that I do, if you're a craps player, like, how do you avoid this? Because I see this, you know, if I play craps every 6-7 times, I'm going to see someone, and some of them I know are not beginners. They're just so obnoxious, and they do cause havoc sometimes. They come in and they start saying they want their chips, they throw the money and interrupt the shooter. I mean, a shooter can almost have the dice in their hands, and this is what happens. So one of the things you can do is don't cash in all your chips. If you go to a place regularly, you know, keep $20, $30 in chips out. And so if there's a hot table, you can walk up and you can make a couple bets without interrupting anybody, like everybody else is making bets, you know, in between the rolls of a shooter. And you can too, because you already have chips. You don't need chips. A casino up our way called the Live Casino, Live Pittsburgh, which is really in Westmoreland Mall. It's a strange name. Live Casino at Westmoreland Mall, which is about 34, 35 miles from Pittsburgh. It's near Greensburg. They don't even give you chips when you cash out now, so I can't do that. They give you a voucher. So what I have to do is put a few chips in my pocket and then turn my chips into them, and I still can do it that way. But, you know, it's the same idea. You know, I don't know what it is about chips, but I see casinos moving away from them. It might be that the actual paper trail of giving you a voucher like you would get out of a slot machine when you shut it down and cash out or color up, as Jeremy Ellerich says, you're going to get a piece of paper, and you have to take that piece of paper to the cage. Other than that, normally what happens is the dealers will give you the higher chip denomination. So let's say you came in for 300 and you have 340, they'll give you 3 100s, you know, and then the $40 in the other chips. So that's what they do in the color up. They kind of reduce the number of chips you have to carry. But that's one of the things. The other thing is, people holding drinks, be it a cup of coffee, a beer, a cocktail, and, you know, this upsets everybody. The pit boss, the dealers, they'll say, hey, don't put that drink over the table. Like, you're just thinking, oh, I'm just, you know, and all of a sudden you're spilling your drink, whatever it is, on the felt. And you're going to get hell when that happens. And, you know, again, unspoken rules. Yeah, you can have a drink at the table, and they have those rails on the side of the table for you to put the drink down, not to hold it. And when you drink it, when you take a sip of your drink, whatever it is, step back a little bit from the table. That's another issue. And, you know, if you're near the stick, man, you got to be careful, man. Sometimes they're swinging those things around. They could actually hit this drink right out of your hand. And so they'd be complicit in the problem. But so that's an issue. You know, so be very careful with drinks. And two more. One is that being careless with your hands. When the dice are pushed to the shooter, you can't make any more bets. Get your hands out of the tub. Get them away. And, you know, people are talking or they are drinking and they're not paying attention. And then they realize they want to make a come bet or a field bet that you put the chips on yourself. And all of a sudden they stick their hand down. Boom, the dice hit and it's a 7. Holy smoke, is everybody upset with you. You know, it's terrible. So, you know, you have business when you're at the table. You have to make that bet early, or if you're going to have the dealer, you know, place the bet, like, and you're going to, dealer, okay, press my 6 and 8, $12 here. You know, you give them $15, they give you change. So there you go. I mean, you have to be alert and make sure you make your bets in a timely fashion. And you got to keep your hands clear of the table. I've even seen people try to clean up their chips, you know, like, they have an odds bet behind the pass line, and a dice hit it and spread out. And they reach down, they're looking at it, and they see it. They reach down without thinking that someone has the dice already, and the dice are coming. And they hit that. It's just so that's one you have to be careful of. And the final one is never criticize the way another player bets. I've talked about this on and on and on. It's a dangerous thing to do because everyone's not going to say, oh, I should listen to you. There's going to be words, sometimes even worse. You know, what do you care how somebody else bets? Worry about how you bet. Our second part today with the craps talk, we want to deal with the don't come bet. Now, we know what the come bet is. It's like starting a new game. It's like the pass line, 7-11 wins. And, of course, you don't want to win on that 7 because everybody else, you're going to lose everything else you have bet. But the 7-11 wins and the 2-3 loses and the 12 loses 2. 2-3 and 12, the craps numbers beat you on the come. But the don't come is a small area on either end of the numbers. And what you're doing is you're making an uncontrolled lay bet. And here's what I mean. It's like you make uncontrolled come bets. Table minimums required. So let's say it's a $10 table. So you have $10 in the DC. And a number then will go to the 4, the 5, the 68, the 9, the 10 if a point number is rolled and go behind it. And you don't pay any lay fee, you know, because you're not choosing where it goes. That's something to think about. So that's the advantage of the DC bet. If you lay a number, you're going to pay a fee for that lay bet. And lay bets don't pay you on a 1-to-1 value, you know, so you have to bet more to win less. And just like the other line bet, you know, the pass line bet with odds or the don't pass line with odds, the don't come bet can also, you can use odds on it. Now, I seldom play from the don't come. I play from the don't pass line quite a bit. But why don't I? You know, I do try it out. You know, try it out. Try it out in a bubble craps game, you know, where it's a much slower rate. The reason I don't is we all know that the average length of a roll is somewhere between 7 and 8 rolls. Okay, so you have the come out roll, right? And then you're going to have 5, 6 more rolls, generally speaking. There could be an early 7. But if there is an early 7, if you have money in the DC and a 7 is rolled, you lose. You lose on a 7 and 11. You win on a 2-3, and a 12 is a push, just like the don't pass line is. So what you do, you endanger your don't pass line anytime you put money in that DC, because if a 7 rolls, you're going to lose it. So if you have $15 on the don't pass, and then you have $15 in the DC, well, if you roll a 7, you're going to win the don't pass, but you're going to lose it, right? On the don't come. So that's the issue. That's what I call the DC, the don't come. And I think most shooters are going to go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rolls. So chances are, in my thinking, because of the number of rolls involved, you'd be better off placing numbers. Then you're playing a hybrid system. You have the don't pass line, and you're placing. So, you know, it's common for people like me to play from the don't pass and then to place the 6 and 8. I would much rather do that than have DC bets on the 6 and 8 because they're, you know, more likely to be rolled than any other number other than the 7. So I just don't believe the DC is good for me. I've had very little success with it over the years, over the decades. But give it a try, see what you think. And I would never play it with odds. Now, again, if you have odds on it, it's just like the don't pass line. It's the same ratio. It's just backwards from odds behind the pass line. The same thing. So we'll talk more about the don't come, make it a feature at times. But I wanted to talk about it because we're talking about the don't pass. But I would play the don't pass and then, for example, play the Iron Cross from the don't pass. You know, play 5, 6, 8 filled. And of course, the point is, if you hit enough place numbers and filled numbers, you have a choice. You can say, well, they're probably going to pick up that 4 I have, or that 9 I have, you know, on that's the point number. So I'm going to lift up my don't pass. Whoa, mathematically, that's not a good thing. But if you're winning on a lot of place bets and you still have money on the don't pass line, you have the right to pick that up. Well, if you have another way of looking at it, feel free to call our voicemail, 24-hour voicemail, 1-724-519-4556, 1-724-519-4556. Just use your first name and the state where you're calling from, and, you know, we'll put your point of view on there, too. So there's a lot to this game of craps, and we enjoy playing it. We enjoy talking about it, and it's an honor to speak directly to our listeners across the world, across the country. Craps across America, baby, and around the world. And let's hope that we all bet intelligently, and we know when it's time to quit, and we know when it's time to color up, and we know when it's time to bet again. You know, take care of our priorities, take care of our loved ones, and then maybe have room for some recreational gambling, as we call it. Okay, well, we appreciate you being our listeners, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. And remember, Casinos USA is still a place where every day is Saturday.